can't put the whoopee cushion on more than one chair at the dinner table.
All right, we finally got another one coming at you. Take some time now, man. I said probably just a little bit over a year ago on this very podcast, hey guys, all I need to do is just keep myself real busy all the time. And then I won't get the little depressies. That's what I call it. My downs. The depressies. Downs is not a nice word for that. When I'm feeling down is what I'm talking about. And now I've just gone too far. And that's what causes them. Because I'm bad at outwardly processing that I'm stressed. And it internalizes. And it turns into being sick all the time, turns into headaches all the time. But this podcast is slow because I got another one going. It's called Bellwether, Bellwether, Bellwether. You can look that up in the iTunes store. It's a little more serious than this one. And for that reason, I put a little more time and effort into it. And this one's become more about just goofs with the fam and with some of my favorite stuff in the world of TV and pop culture and whatever. And then there's my band. I won't say the name because I just realized if I start listing all the things that I'm working on, it's just a lot of self-promotion, which maybe I should use this for. I'll think about it between now and the next episode. Maybe I'll talk more. But lots of shows and practice and then trying to find a new job while my current job is me basically doing two people's jobs, and it's a lot, but you just gotta keep telling yourself it's gonna be worth it. But if anybody needs somebody who can get on a mic and make goofs and then edit those goofs to sound more intelligent than they were when they first went on the mic, call me. I'm looking for you and you're looking for me. But we made an error later. I think we said we watched the 15th ranked episode. It's actually 14th. And it's our first Treehouse of Horror. I'm going to be honest, it's the only one on the list. Treehouse of Horror 5, Season 6, Episode 6 of The Simpsons. That's what we watched. I'm Josh, one of your hosts, and this is Still Life with Simpsons.
I was thinking along the lines of no TV and no beer, make Homer something something.
Go crazy?
Don't mind if I do!
I found out right before you called me that today is what's known as Leroy Jenkins Day. Are you familiar with Leroy Jenkins?
I think I went to high school with him.
I don't think you went to high school with Leroy Jenkins.
Okay.
So today is a very famous day in the world of Warcraft.
Oh.
For I mean, if somebody cares enough about The Simpsons to listen to enough episodes of this podcast to make it this far, they surely know all about Leroy Jenkins. So it was 11 years ago today.
I think I know about this.
That during a raid on, oh God, this is embarrassing. I can't remember the location. Black Rock something. Damn it. This is embarrassing. 11 years ago today, someone shouted Leroy Jenkins. I ran in, got the whole raid killed, and it's so famous it got a Jeopardy question.
Wow, impressive!
I looked up just for the occasion. I looked up the Jeopardy question, which reads: this role-playing game out in 2004 returns to the world of Azeroth, where heroes like Leroy Jenkins do battle. The answer is, what is World of Warcraft, of
That's
course.
That's the time where he goes Leroy Jenkins and goes in before the rest of everybody else and everybody dies, right?
I'm so excited that you know that.
Oh, I've seen that.
I want to say it was Black Rock Spire.
I could have gone to high school with Leroy Jenkins.
It could be the one and the same. It's possible.
There's definitely a Leroy in my class.
One more thing before we get into Simpsons. Mm-hmm. I heard that much like a Muppet that our mother recently took Manhattan.
She did. She's so good at New York. She's so good at it.
There's got to be something that is worthy of the world here.
Oh my gosh, where to start, really?
Something bigger than ourselves that she accomplished.
Well, she went canvassing for Bernie. It was a day, she was here the day of the election and a few days before. So the day before the election, she's coming to meet me at work. I live in the middle of Brooklyn, and she's walking from my place to my work, which is about a mile away. And she finds canvassers, and she made friends with them and went door to door with them.
Oh my, that's the old hippie lady version of a stranger offering you candy. It's the exact same thing.
It's amazing.
Hey, you want to try to get an old Jewish man elected? Why don't you come with me?
It was amazing. So that's
incredible.
That's just one story.
That's the story she told me. She was like, "Yeah, I just met a guy. Said we were canvassing for Bernie. He gave me some stickers, and we went in some buildings, and we knocked on doors.
Turns out those stickers had PCP on them." She wasn't knocking on doors. She was knocking on trees.
She was riding the dragon. riding the dragon and feeling its burn. That's
awesome.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a good time. Good time. She also organized a book club. She organized her own book club.
So our mom flew 700 miles and organized her own book club 700 miles from her home. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Did they have a meeting?
Yeah, I mean, turns out one of the people that read the book couldn't make it. And another person, I don't think she read the book, and she brought another friend. But they were all like, yeah, it was pretty impressive.
How many people came to her book club meeting?
Six.
What if this is some... what if this is some kind of real long game to like create a satellite government that she's going to build up and take over the city?
I think she's going to, I'm glad that like I would totally be down with my mom being in the city, but I'm afraid if she lived here, she'd become a Hare Krishna. Like, I feel like she'd see them playing someday at 14th Street, playing their dumb instruments.
It's very loose, but that's another Muppet callback. I like it.
Thank you.
All right. Go on.
So there's always Hare Krishnas at 14th Street playing their instruments and singing their songs.
And you can always try them.
Like, yeah. Just doing their thing. Like wet noodle dancing, as we like to call it. And I feel like mom would find them one day and think that they were just like ordinary people playing music, and she would join them and start coming back telling us about them.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I mean, she knows where Hare Krishna is, though. She knows a lot about religions.
Yeah. Oh, this is making me realize more and more how much she and probably you a little bit and my, quote, partner, because it's 2016, are like, oh, it's terrifying. But I've decided to embrace it.
I decided,
like, hey, Freud, dude, sure, it's cool. You're right, whatever.
Yeah.
Just embrace your destiny. So that's good. That's all good. Let's get into the Simpsons, though. And I don't know if I made a boo-boo, but it's the middle of May, and we watched Season 6, Episode 6, which is a Treehouse of Horror episode. It's Treehouse of Horror number 5. I forgot to write down where we are on the countdown numerically.
Whoa.
I really hope you remember that, and I don't have to look it up and kill time doing it. Give it to
14.
Me.
14.
Okay, I'm going to say it's 14. I'll correct myself in the intro if that's wrong.
I could have sworn the last one was 15.
This is what happens when we like stumble off our game and we slow down.
Yay.
We can't even count anymore. So it's number 14. I like that it's season 6, episode 6, and it's a Halloween episode, and it's one third away from Satan. That's great.
And it should have.
So that's its first thing it's going
for. It should have been Treehouse of Horror 6, not 5.
That would have been. Well, they skipped. I don't know if they skipped the first year.
I don't think they did the first year, because the first year started with the Christmas special.
Yeah, that's probably the case. You're probably right. So I was saying before. It's the middle of May, and we did a Halloween episode. So we're, like, as calendar-wise, as far as we could possibly be from Halloween.
I thought you were going to say fucked. So, anyway.
What?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering if that impacted your connection or ability to get
well,
into it.
Well, it reminded me of this thing I hate that little kids, when you take them to libraries, do. And you take a little kid to the library, I'm talking like a 4-year-old or to like a 6-year-old, somewhere small. And they, all they want are the freaking picture books for like whatever holiday it is not even close to. it's like June 1st and they want this Thanksgiving book. And you're just like, oh, I don't want to read a Thanksgiving book right now. Like
it's Christmas every day.
It's gonna stink. But either like, and it's like,
I want Christmas.
It's just amazing how irritating it is, and it's completely irrational that you would be irritated by it.
Why do you think that is?
Oh no.
Cuz I have the same issue just watching TV by myself. If I'm sequentially watching a TV show and it gets to the Thanksgiving and the Christmas special and it's, for example, it's May, I watched the first Christmas episode of The West Wing a few weeks ago. Big props to my boy Josh Molina, who started The West Wing Weekly, the podcast. Stole a little bit of our thunder. That's okay, Josh Molina. We were doing it first. That's probably the show I would have wanted to do if we weren't doing The Simpsons. So that got me back into The West Wing. And then I saw the Christmas episode. And I was just irritated, even though it's one of the greatest episodes in television history. I was just like, but I don't want it to be Christmas right
now.
I know,
but if it was Christmas, it would kind of like tug at your heart a little. But if it's not Christmas.
Oh, I still absolutely was bawling by the end.
Good.
There were tears streaming down my face.
But yeah, you just.
But I was just like, it's not Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt with this. I was like, I could really be in the mood for Halloween if this was Halloween.
You know what? I have a theory. So Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas are all, I think, sort of there to distract us from the weather.
Okay.
So they distract us from the fact that it's not spring and it's not summer. Okay. So it's like, well, here's a cool thing. Here's something to entertain you for 24 hours.
Then why doesn't lousy Smarch have a good holiday?
That's a minor hole in my theory. But okay. I think they're there to distract you. So when the weather is good, you don't want those holidays. Because they remind you that crappy weather is going to come back.
That's a good theory. That's a really good theory.
That's the best I got as to why it's annoying to watch.
But I'm telling you, if it was November and somebody handed me a book about the Easter Bunny, I would lose my mind.
All right. Well, I'll go back and I'll run the numbers on this. I'll do some polling and some surveying.
Do you think that phenomenon is called? That's all I want to know. Like, what is the psychological? What do you call this problem?
All I got is holidays, holiday-isms.
Holiday.
But that's not very, that's too simple.
Holiday grossums.
Much better. That's it. Holiday grossums.
Okay, good. Oh, I got the holiday grossums again.
Dude, that That's it right there. Hashtag holiday grossums. Oh, I was just watching a show and all of a sudden accidentally a Christmas episode came on in May.
Dude, this have you been watching this season of Kimmy Schmidt?
It's all about Christmas,
it's
right?
It's stressing me out.
Gives you the holiday grossums. Kimmy Schmidt, holiday grossum, patient zero right there.
It's okay. She was in a bunker.
People like her that want it to be Christmas every day, they're part of the problem.
So I know we said Jack can't be on the podcast, but
I like the way you said it with no context. It makes it it makes it sound like there's a really serious problem.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yo Josh.
It makes it sound like he like ran around on you.
Yeah, I'll leave pauses for you to talk. You wanna go see my brother and me next month?
Oh my god.
In New York City? Oh yeah.
Sure.
Remember when I wrote
he said sure.
Oh, that's good.
So
all right, let's cut.
Are. This is our courtship.
All right, let's
I
cut back
talking
in.
I'm
nope.
Josh. Time to shush.
I can't decide if we should leave that or not.
You'll have to see if there's any audio quality on it.
All right. Assuming we cut out what just happened, let's cut back in here. You were saying something about Jack not being allowed on the podcast.
Well, I mean, this probably is a good place to cut back in either, but I think he has a fantasy baseball tip ready.
Oh. Oh. Here. Since he doesn't have headphones on. Wait, he's going to do it from behind you. He's in the room. So here's what needs to happen. Steph, I'm going to do the theme.
Okay.
You toss it to him. Okay. Ready? Squidded the bat, but a bait in it, squid is a baseball tip of the week. Go!
Jack, now we're ready for your tip.
By the air guitar, it's my turn. The most important tip of fantasy baseball is eliminate all extracurricular activities during the fantasy baseball season. That goes from early January until playoff time. Little known fact, playoffs not part of fantasy baseball season.
What?
That means no school. That means a lot of summer school for you kids out there.
I feel like that's the first
that
thing
means
anybody
lot,
who plays fantasy baseball
does. Working at the Halloween candy store.
Speaking of Halloween, what a great callback. And
put it to you that way.
What?
Chump.
All right.
Listen, sheeple. You're not going to have one of those full-time jobs if you're going to run the band.
Where's his off switch?
Okay.
You're going to go wire.
Here, this
wire,
is me
dog.
Turning the off switch. This is the
good
off
tip.
Switch.
Good tip.
It's off. Okay, squiddly, bam, 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 and it's baseball tip of the week. All right, Jack, thanks for mentioning Halloween. What a great callback to the Simpsons episode that we're discussing, Treehouse of Horror 5. So anyway, all right, okay, so we know we were a little out of it because it's the middle of May. Other than that, Steph, what do you take away from this episode?
Well,
how do you feel?
We did screw up because it was an excellent Shining episode. And we should have done this one at Overlook Lodge.
I
shout
thought
out
the same
to our
thing.
Friends.
As soon as I saw which one it was, I knew it was like, oh, it's the Shining spoof. We should have done it at Overlook Lodge where we did our last live episode, which is a Shining theme bar. So it's at least an opportunity to shout them out. If Steph and Jack are ever in town again, we'll do another
one. It's a cool bar. You should go.
But there's that. But how do you feel this stands as a Simpsons episode?
I know that I wanted this one on here for the segment Time and Punishment.
Oh, really? That was the one I forgot
oh,
about.
Oh, man. No, I don't remember what it was, but this is the episode where I first feel like this is the first episode of Simpsons I remember going to school afterwards and like telling all the jokes from it with my friends.
Oh, yeah, that fish one. Because my dad... As soon as he went back to Dinosaur Land, I was like, oh, I wish I had killed that fish. Okay, that's what we're into now. But anyway, go on.
Don't ask me which joke it was. I just remember like watching this episode and then going to school and laughing for like all day about it. But with all the cool kids. But cool kids, people that I thought were cool, not the actual cool kids. I did not like them.
Way to go, moms.
But, and I still thought the Time and Punishment was the best one.
I agree. It was, well, it just had the great butterfly effect thing going for it. Like the good tie-in of that whole theory. It was the most sort of intellectually stimulating. The rest, like, the others felt like we're doing a parody and we've got to smash in as many parody jokes as we can.
Yeah.
I didn't ever get engaged. I was just trying to sit back and be like, I'm in it for jokes. I know Halloween episodes are about the one-liners. They're about, like, they're about going off over the top. And I still just never got super into it.
Yeah. That's true.
Across the board.
I think maybe we put it too high on the list.
That being said, I think it made it this high on the list based partially on the memory of jokes, like I wish I had to kill the fish. There's one or two really good ones. Oh, the no TV and no beer make Homer go something something.
Yeah, that's...
That was a classic playground one. But when I rewatched it now, I thought this doesn't really stand the test of time super great. It feels, from our sort of pseudo-intellectual hipster view of TV, of everything should be sophisticated, even comedy. I was just feeling, what a cheap, lowest common denominator joke of, oh, he doesn't have TV or beer, so he, like, goes crazy.
They were really into that.
What an everyday American Joe.
They were really into Homer relying on TV and beer.
Yeah, that stereotype, that cliche, just looking back 20 years later from this episode, it just feels cheap.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm trying to think of that stereotype, and I'm not sure I recognize it. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure I know, like, a bunch of dummies that just watch TV and drink beer. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and it's just definitely, it's fallen by the wayside, that stereotype. I think there's a lot less of it on TV now. I don't know if there's a lot less of it, or it's just easier to find other things, and there are more options.
Yeah, I think maybe.
Because you definitely still have your Mike and Molly's, your kings of your queens.
I gotta watch that show someday.
I've never actually watched Mike and Molly. I just get really angry because every time I see a commercial for it, they play a few jokes, and the punchline of every joke is, get it? Because they're fat. And it's just like really, it's so demeaning to the actors.
That's so stupid. It's demeaning to actors. It's demeaning to big people. Like, so what? People are big.
Whatever. Yeah, it's so sad. So it just doesn't stand up for me. And I was almost totally out of it when he comes back from the time traveling mm-hmm. one. And he comes back one time. And you get that he's going to ask for something and it's not going to be there. Yeah. And I was like, if it's beer, I'm just done. And it was at least donuts. And then it rains donuts, which was great. So that one was going good. I was really happy with the time travel.
That one always breaks my heart. I'm like, oh, you're so close. You're so close, Homer.
What would rain from the sky in your perfect universe?
Ooh, I mean, donuts looked really good.
Dude. Nothing looks better than a Simpsons
Maybe
donut.
Kitties. like and then kitties like evaporated and then rained again.
You guys can't see this, but I'm actively swimming in air kitties right now.
But yeah.
I'm piling up in air kitties. Give me the kitties. Are they declawed? Because if not, you're gonna be in for serious scarring.
They don't scratch. They're not declawed because that's inhumane, but or something. But they don't scratch.
When they come down from the sky, are they bogged down by all the laws of physics? Can they reach terminal velocity? Because if so, we're in for some serious trouble.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're absolutely not. They're just, they land, they walk around, and in a day or two's time, they evaporate back to the clouds again for another kitty rain shower in another week or two.
Wow,
maybe somewhere over the Pacific.
That's good.
Yeah.
Rain
still exists, but also there's kitty rain showers.
I'm still thinking of mine. I think, like, it's so obvious, but, like, why not pizza?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Imagine any day you want. Well, not any day. Any day the pizza molecules gather up and get too dense for the layer of ozone or whatever they're in. They just fall to the ground, and you go, hmm. That's some good ass pizza. Every day is cloudy with a chance of pizza.
Is it?
Why not?
That'd be awesome. Is the pizza good? The pizza's decent?
It's the best pizza you've ever had.
I feel like it would depend on the weather. Like, because, you know, like.
There's rain. There's...
A light sprinkle. Ooh, there's no cheese on this one.
Like, styles of pizza based on the type of rain.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that makes it a little harder, because I also then, as I made that reference to cloudy with a chance of meatballs, realized it rained every food in that book.
It did?
So if I could have it that way, well, why wouldn't I?
I do like the idea of meatballs.
But it also would rain bad food.
What's bad food?
For me, it's still beets.
Like, I feel like it's like expired sandwiches. It's like
sandwiches with like classic cartoon green spots of mold on them. And moldy sandwiches, beets, and eggplant are.
You don't like eggplant?
No, still makes me gag.
You're crazy.
So back to the episode. What about? I was surprised by the third piece. It was exceptionally brutal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't super memorable. And, like, I didn't remember it at all the entire time. Other than the fact that Willie gets killed for the third time.
I remembered it. But, yeah, it's pretty gross. They eat all the kids.
They eat all the kids. And again, it just, because every segment is shortened, it feels so rushed to just, blah, let's tell this story as fast as we can and smash it together.
I mean, I
just feel like I'd be punched over the face when I watch the Treehouse of Horror episode.
It's kind of fun like that. I feel like every Treehouse of Horror has, like, one really good one, and the other ones are like, eh. And they're like fun parodies. I never really care for the parodies. They're rarely good.
That, especially the Shining parody, they got me with the one-liners. So I was like, this is cool. This is cool. We got our no beer and whatever, something, something. And then the Shining.
I forgot about that.
Not getting. And Willie asks me, tells him he doesn't want to get sued because they can't call it the Shining. Like, those are good. But, yeah, it does just feel like, forget plot, forget any sort of emotional arc. Let's just pound in any references to this movie and this book that we can make.
The thing I liked about The Shining one is I really love that movie. So I think it's like a really visually stunning movie for a horror movie especially. So it's just fun to see like the classic shots of The Shining Simpsonized.
And they didn't do that many though. They do the Here's Johnny thing, which I did like the riff when he keeps missing and he's doing other late night show intros. It took me to the last one to no. I was just glad they did more than one.
Yeah,
because the second one I think is the David Letterman one that he does 60 minutes and he does the whole thing. And that's good. But anyway, they did that. They did like the blood, and. Everything else was more like plot referential, like the hedge maze. The Lodge itself, of course.
They did the blocks.
I don't know. I still don't know the movie super well. I've only seen it once.
I know it pretty well. The shot at the beginning where they're driving, that's the same shot as the beginning of the film. Yeah, the maze, a lot of the interior stuff they did at the hotel, they did on there. The Mo character, I don't know. Yeah, they do a lot.
Oh, that's... I think I was mostly just waiting for the whole, like, twins in the hallway thing.
Yeah, I was too. I didn't do the twins, did they?
And there's a gross lady in a bathtub at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Am I remembering that right? Yeah. That's the creepiest thing I remember.
That's the creepiest thing, I think. And they didn't do the they didn't do the big wheel. The kid goes around on a circle, is always riding around on his big wheel. They didn't do the stuff with the kids. They just did the stuff with Homer.
Everything was so Homer focused in the first two.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
I like Homer. Homer was in his element.
Back to the last segment though. The Nightmare Cafeteria. Unter finally died. I don't know if you recall, one of our very first episodes, friend of the show, Gavin, he guests on the podcast from time to time. He brought up, at one point, I think we watched an episode with Unter, and he's like, I thought Unter died at some point.
I do not remember this.
And we were like, why do you remember that? And this is it. Unter died in this episode.
Unter died.
And he got eaten.
Did he mean like Unter died and isn't on the show anymore?
He implied that. I think maybe he forgot the context of it being a Halloween episode where just like normal cartoons, everything gets erased at the end. Because in this show, Maude died, Bleeding Gums Murphy died, Dr. Marvin Monroe. And I think that's it. Those are the only people who did not come back next week.
And I think Gunter just kind of faded. I think he's not in the more recent stuff.
He was less useful as the years went on, I guess.
I mean, why does a second grade have an exchange student?
That would be terrifying.
Oh my God.
By the way.
Can you imagine? You're going to go live in America now.
I'm still terrified of going to another country.
I was like, I could not believe people were exchange students in high school. I was like, you're just going to go live in another country. That's
pretty badass.
Yeah, it's badass, but it still scared the crap out of me. I was like, I don't understand. That's too long. Too far.
So, I have a couple questions that I'd like to riff on with the Time and Punishment segment.
Yeah.
Really, really coming into its own here and growing on me. There's a joke Homer makes the first time he's going back in time. He says, I'm the first non-Brazilian to go back in time.
I didn't notice that.
No, he emphasizes to travel backwards in time as opposed to forwards. First off,
because we're all traveling forward in time.
Oh, duh. Okay. That explains half of it. First non-Brazilian. What Brazilians went back in time? You've got no clue?
I don't know any Brazilians.
I looked it up, and Matt Groening himself didn't understand the reference. I was looking this up on Wikipedia, and it just says Matt Groening didn't understand the reference, and it doesn't get explained.
What?
The internet doesn't know. Matt Groening doesn't
know. We'll figure this out later.
There's no explanation from whoever wrote the joke. It just is what it is.
I mean, who's famous from Brazil? All I know is like, Pele. That guy's from Brazil, right? The soccer player guy?
I don't want to say anything because I feel like if I'm wrong, it's a little bit racist.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly just I'm an American. I don't know every cultural reference in the world.
Yeah, so that one's just a mystery. I just thought that was a fun little piece of trivia.
That's interesting.
That. Even Matt Groening doesn't get the joke.
That's interesting. Maybe it's from that movie Brazil. What is that?
that movie Brazil.
There's a movie called Brazil, and it's really weird or something.
How old is it?
It's like from the 70s or 80s.
I've never heard
of it. Really?
Beast me.
Okay. Well, we'll have to look that up, too.
At least TGIF is still on ABCs on Friday nights.
I was like...
I think what I love about that joke is it was probably one of the first pop culture references in The Simpsons that I understood in the moment as it aired.
Oh, true. But it's funny.
Because it's like, I watch TGIF on ABC.
It's funny because I doubt, because people that are older than 12 years old do not like TGIF.
But I think it was sort of a national cultural thing that TGIF was this huge, dominant thing that nobody thought was ever going to go away for a while.
They were killing it. That baffles me that you could put TV on Friday night and people would watch
it. Yeah.
From 8 to 10.
It totally makes sense, though.
I mean, kids are at home. You could stay up till 10.
For us, it was Friday. You could stay up late and you could watch TV.
And you might even get to eat pizza in the living room.
Fuck. We gotta get TGIF back on the air.
You know what also? They also had a good number of black sitcoms, which is impressive for...
Again, I'm...
Hanging with Mr. Cooper...
Okay. I was worried that Family Matters was the only one.
There's probably some more. That's not very...
Family Matters. You might be dumping Fresh Prince in with
those. I think I did.
And I don't think it was
Fresh
it was
Prince
Monday
was NBC.
On NBC,
I think. I feel like there was another one. I can't remember. Hanging with Mr. Cooper turned into something else, too.
He hosted the hit... Don't Forget Your Toothbrush on Comedy Central, which I love to reference on the podcast any chance I get.
I don't know what that is.
The gimmick of Don't Forget Your Toothbrush was that it was your typical trivia game show, but if you won, you won a trip, and you had to leave immediately, but you didn't know where your trip was going
to
be.
That's awesome. Where did they send people to, like, Cleveland?
They would just put you on an airplane and you would go. I don't remember if there were like shitty ones you could accidentally get.
That'd be hilarious. That'd be amazing.
I want to make sure we've covered all of our bases of this episode before we wrap up here. I love the sloth creature.
Oh, I did too.
For anybody who didn't watch, this is a really probably my favorite joke in the episode. Homer smashes a bug and is asking no one. That couldn't have possibly changed anything. And this giant half sloth, half dinosaur
like
thing walks
mammoth.
By, stands up and shrugs and goes,
It's so cute.
It's
I want that.
Best joke in the episode.
I thought
absolute best part.
The other good joke, back to the what that segment, which I thought was the best, was... It's the advice that Grant, he travels back in time and he goes, I remember advice that my dad gave me on my wedding night. And it's the advice, if you ever travel back in time, don't step on anything.
I think the nice part about that joke is it establishes that Grandpa was always a kook.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I think
that was why I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It made me wonder about Grandpa, too. Maybe he knew something. Maybe he knew about time travel. I'm reading this book right now where these guys... It's called the Time Accidents, I think. And one of the guys accidentally, like, has a... They call him a time accident, and time just kind of pauses, and they're, like, aware of it, and they're, like, thinking in their head, and it just kind of happens. But the guy has a time accident for the first time when he has sex, like romantic sex with his partner for the first time. So maybe that's what Grandpa meant.
Seems like a good time to have a time accident, dude.
Time accidents. Watch out.
I thought this was it was a great sort of preview of what we would get with Futurama. And the way it handles time and space and science.
Good point.
So that was a great I don't know, connection to that. Because at this point, I think I'm comfortable admitting that I do like Futurama way more than The Simpsons.
That's fair, man. That's fair.
It's just The Simpsons was like them getting their sea legs. Or not their sea legs. What do you call it? You know. And it just is so much more thoughtful than The Simpsons. Which is interesting because the reason we connect to The Simpsons is that it was this outlandish, first of its kind, in-your-face humor that was edgy. And when you look back on it, you just think it's so not that, like, cultured or in-depth or thoughtful. It has its moments, and we're definitely getting to them.
Well, and it's also just, you got to be fair to it, and it's like, it was the first. Well, not the first. There's other stuff that it's piggybacking on. But it was like the first adult kid cartoon of the modern era. Like, of the contemporary era.
Yeah. But that, oh my gosh, that leads me to something. I want to end with this. That's a good way to wrap on the Simpsons episode. I think it could have gone lower, but
yeah.
For all the one-liners and the memories, all right, you're okay on the top 50.
It's got to be there.
Moving on, though. Oh, God, I can't even remember why this you just reminded me of this. Oh, being the first. So, are you familiar with the Limp Bizkit plays Sunoco on Wayne Street phenomenon that happened a few weeks ago?
Yeah. Weird. Okay. It was really weird.
It was beautiful. It was such a beautiful social experiment. And it still continues to be amazing because, so I like was sort of like Kevin Bacon theory, like 2 degrees away from the people that did this thing. So it was very like close to understanding like how it was happening and how it was evolving. And saw it, like, right away as soon as it started.
Oh, you are 2 degrees from the people that did it, so you sort of know them.
Yeah. Don't personally know them, but, like, know people who know them. Okay. And we're pretty involved. So I saw the whole thing pretty much from start to finish. And it was absolutely fascinating. Because not only, like, does it happen, but just everybody, thousands of people are just on board for the irony of it. And show up, like, totally just still 100% invested in the irony of we quote-unquote seriously think Limp Bizkit's going to come play. And then, after the fact, Noisy, which is Vice's music blog or whatever, their music page, they did a, like, sincere follow-up to it where they made fun of Limp Bizkit fans and they sincerely were like, oh my gosh, 100 Limp Bizkit fans showed up thinking they were actually gonna play at a Sunoco. So these idiots that started this thing, they trolled Noisy, who's a subsidiary of Vice, like the kings of hipster irony. They trolled them into writing a story making fun of the low-hanging fruit that is a Limp Bizkit fan by just doing this thing. Which, I don't know if you follow that, but it's absolutely brilliant.
So they tricked Noisy.
Like, it wasn't their goal in any way.
Their goal was just but like, yeah. This will be funny, right?
This is just a fun
see
prank.
Let's see where this goes. Yeah. So were the people that showed up at the gas station actual Limp Bizkit fans, or were they just like, this is funny, let's just go and see what happens?
Yeah. It was totally people were like, it'll be a party, like, whatever.
I don't remember where I saw it, but I definitely saw, like, a little news clip of it, and I was like, what the hell is going on?
It was awesome. So first it happens. Thousands of people get involved, and it's just this weird moment of zeitgeist, like, perfect prank that gets all this media attention. So, and then Noisy writes that review where, like, stupid Limp Bizkit fans. Cool. And so then, like, they're the butt of the joke because they took it seriously. Like, they, there's so many layers. It's so good. then
it's fantastic.
This is the best part. So it originated, they were, quote, Limp Bizkit was going to play a Sunoco in Dayton, Ohio, which is like 50 miles north of where I live, in Cincinnati. The first copycat of many that I've seen that has popped up was people in New York doing one of like, oh, some other shitty band's going to play some shitty place in Brooklyn. Yeah. So it was like New Yorkers copying our Midwestern joke.
Yeah.
To like try to get some of the like attention for like pulling that prank.
It's a good prank.
I was like, dude, if you weren't first, it's not funny.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's been like a dozen more.
I was surprised people went for it again. I was like, oh, come on. We saw this 2 weeks ago. You gotta wait like 3 years when we all forgot about it.
The thing is, it was never about tricking people into believing. It was just like fun to pretend it was happening.
Can we interview these people?
It was just so... I could try. I think it's worth it.
Okay.
Because it was so unusual. Like, that... And the fact that it was unusual made it so that the first person that did it is the only one that's funny, the only one that's interesting, the only one that's relevant.
Oh, totally.
Everybody else is just trying to cheat, getting attention. They're trying to cheat their way to virality by copying something that can't be replicated.
Yeah, that's...
It's brilliant!
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of, like, a good prank, stupid joke. It's like... It's only working because it's surprising.
Yeah. Like, you can't put the whoopee cushion on more than one chair at the dinner table. Like, after it goes once, you can't blow it back up and put it in the chair next to that person.
That's a good point. God, whoopee cushions. It's good.
On that note, I went on a little longer for the episode than I intended because I had to into that. But I want to wrap up and got to thank the Sidekicks for our theme song, GMT, off the album Awkward Breeds. Always a jam. Always the best band of all time. Forever and ever. Amen.
Always gets me psyched to listen to my podcast.
Me too. Why don't we use them to get psyched to end the podcast?
Okay.
We're going to cut away to it. Right after we say goodbye to the people. Goodbye to the people. I wish I had killed that